Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message.
Give the Lord a hand. I'm telling you guys, you got to take a breath before you sing that song. That one is up there. Show of hands, who turns 30 this year? Who's brave enough to tell? 30? Okay, we got a few. 30? There's one right here. There you go. Well, this next song is, it used to be one of those bread and butter songs for us in worship in the 90s and everything. And some of those songs, you know, they got some age on them. 30 years is not too old, but, you know, we've gone other ways, and there's new songs out there that the church sings now, and a lot of great songs, but I love coming back to some of these because they just kind of, you know, part of worship to me is not only worshiping God, but also just kind of taking you to a different place, maybe a simpler time in memory, and something I really love to do, just thinking about time worshiping with family when times are simpler. So you guys just continue to eat as always, and we'll just worship the Lord together. In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I want to know you more. Sing that with me. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to stillness, you are there.
Thank you, Austin. I think I texted him on Sunday evening. Was it Sunday? And said, "Hey, I'm a little late, but will you mind?" And as always, he steps up. So thank you. Thanks to Zach for stepping up here and praying. Thank you for that, Zach. Another hand to Michael Hubert, who stepped up here boldly last week and shared testimony. I appreciate that from you, Michael. And today, we're going to continue on learning a little bit more about our faith. In a few weeks, we're going to start a new series that God kind of spoke to me yesterday. I hope you enjoyed the lunch yesterday, called Faith, Family, and Friends. And we're going to look at that from a spiritual perspective. But today we're going to look at kind of a play on words, lead for God's sake. We're going to look at what it's like for us to lead. We've learned about Jesus. We know what he says he's come and done for us. We read that in the scriptures. But we're going to look at what does he want us to do when it comes to leading. Now, you may say, Donnie, I'm not much of a leader. Well, you're leading somebody. You may not be a leader at this company. You may not have that position or title, but you're leading somebody. And so a great reminder was yesterday when we toured around Riley Gaines, 23 years old, who did not sign up to be a leader. She was going to dental school. That's what she wanted to do. And now she's leading women all over America of how to protect women in sports. And so you never know where God's going to put you. The verse for today is 1 Timothy 4:12. Paul's writing to Timothy. He's mentoring him, and he writes this: Timothy, let no one look down on you because of your youth, but be an example and set a pattern for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in moral purity. Paul reminding Timothy as he's leading him, preparing him to go out and lead people with the gospel. Because Paul knows that eventually his time will come to an end. And so when I think of that, he's saying, hey, Timothy, don't let nobody look down on you. You ever had anybody look down on you? Right? He's saying, don't let nobody look down on you, Timothy. And so what does that look like for us when you think about being a leader? Who are you as a leader? I want you to think of this. You say, well, maybe Donnie, I don't have that gift. I'm not a leader. But we all have the ability to lead people in our lives. And so as believers, God's called us to lead people. And so think of this. Who are you as a leader? A leader is someone who has influence and leads the way. They are a guide, a conductor, a shepherd. They take control and make things happen. They serve. We see in the scriptures, they're servants. Now, I don't know if you watch the TV show Survivor, but we watch that at my home. My wife loves it. But it's unique. When they first get to the island, you can find out who the leaders are real quick because they're the ones taking charge, right? They're the ones getting things done, making things happen, and you can tell who the followers are. And so many a times we get in this position where we think we're not leaders, but if someone was to follow you around most of the day, they would probably be able to show you leadership traits in you by the way you conduct yourself. And so leaders lead not by only looking out for themselves, but for others as well. Yeah, there's something that has to be done, but when you're leading people, you're not just looking out for you. You're looking out for the people you're leading. We see Paul allude to this in Philippians 2:4. He's writing to the church of Philippi. He writes this: do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. We see that all through the scriptures, that we're not the center of the game. We're not the center of attention. The leader's not always the center of attention. Now, they're leading, they're mentoring, they're an example. But at the end of the day, the people that are important are the people that they are leading, right? So we don't look out as leaders just for ourselves. We look out for other people as well. Paul reminding the people in Philippi. However, many want to lead their own way and not God's way. This is when we get in trouble. Like, I'm going to just do this my way. Well, you can, and there's plenty of leaders out there doing that. This is the unique thing I liked about the military. For my veterans in here, you understand this. When you get there, they first of all remind you that you're a nobody, real quick. And then as they tear you down to nothing, they build you back up. And it's interesting, they're building you to be leaders. The system works in the military because the guy that's leading you didn't jump 15 spots to get there. He had to come from the bottom just like everybody else. And it's a stepping stone of rank, of leadership. And as they go out in 20 years, the cycle keeps going. You lead. And so they don't get to lead their way. Now, I get it. Not everybody in the military leads God's way. But there is a system that we can see that's very biblical. And so we are all leading someone. The question is, who do you get to lead? Who do you get to lead? Right? Maybe you have kids. Maybe you have a wife, a husband, right? Maybe you have, maybe you're a leader here in a position of leadership. And so we're all leading someone. And so what does that look like for us? How do we lead people to success? See, I don't know if any leader just like, man, I can't wait to go lead people to failure today. Pretty excited about it. No one, right? It's you're leading people to success. You want to be successful. You want them to be successful. I mean, we witnessed that here yesterday, right here on this stage, right? What a leader looks like and how the encouragement for us to carry a legacy, right? And be leaders. And so with that, what does success mean to you? If someone was to walk up to you and go, hey, what does success mean to you? Now, in our racing world, we know what they mean. It's them banners right there. It's those H's right there. Like, we know what success is, right? That's what we like. But is that all that it is, right? Spiritually, when we think about what God has for us? And so listen to this. Success is the accomplishment of an aim or a purpose. So we have a purpose. We have something to accomplish this year. We're trying to win a lot of races. I think Linda said all of them. And we want to win a championship, right? That's what we want to do. It's a good outcome of an undertaking. So we're about to undertake this long season this weekend. And let's just be honest. Who here does not want to win anything? Exactly. We want to win them all. And so that's what success looks like in our world. But listen to what the world's view of success is. It's about power, fame, wealth, social status. It's secular. Now, there's nothing wrong with these because you can be a follower of Jesus and have power and fame and wealth and status. God gives you that. And you can use that to the betterment of his kingdom. But the world tends to see it absent of God. That's the world's view. But what about God's view? Well, that which is spiritual and lasting and ends in eternal life and joy. That's what God's view of success is. When I think of success as someone who officiates funeral, man, I've just never had somebody when I'm sitting with a family in their grief and go, we really need to talk about how much stuff he had. Nobody brings that up. We usually talk about character and who they were as a person, right? And so think of this when you think of God's view of success. If it's that which is spiritual and lasting and ends in eternal life and joy, man, that's where I want to find my success. I want my kids, if I go before them, to stand up and say, this is what I liked about my dad. He's in heaven. I want them to talk about the joy that their mom and I found in Christ and not in all the other worldly things. How about the world's view of success is centered on promotion and gratification of self? The higher you climb that LinkedIn thing, man, whew, success, right? There's nothing wrong with being successful and having gratification. However, promotion's not always successful. I know plenty of people that get promoted. I remember when I was a police officer, you kind of the place to be is the chief. One of my buddies became the chief, and I'd talk to him later on. After I left, and it's like, how's it going? He's like, it's a little different. I'm not on the road anymore. You know, I don't get to see the guys as much. It's more political. In other words, he wanted the promotion because that's what the world says is success. But then once he got there, didn't feel very successful. So you got to be careful what your view of success is. But what about God's view of success? It's centered on obedience and glorification of him. That's how God sees success. We see it in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So then, Paul writing to the church of Corinth, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, I like that, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of our great God. That's what success looks like. No matter what you're doing, do it to the glory of God. I like the fact that yesterday we learned, and many of you have heard the story, that when this company won its first race, the patriarchs, the leaders, were not even there. They were at church. You think there's a little bit of a blessing in that, maybe? I do, right? There's something about honoring God with your life and knowing that whatever you do, when you give him glory, that is success to God. And so, why do you lead the way you do? Think of this question. If you are leading people in your life, hopefully after today you're going to start because I'm going to challenge you. Why do you lead the way you do? Right? Why? I lead my kids the way I have and continue to because I want them, when people see them, to say, those are good kids. Not just good kids, they're respectable. They're humble. I could go on and on and on, right? I don't really care about what kind of status of success the world has for them. I want when people to see them, when I lead them, that they know that they were led well by their mother and I. And so when we think of this, everything you do has a purpose and intention of why you do it. And so when you're leading people, why are you doing it? What's the intention? You can lead to glorify self, or you can lead to glorify God. The interesting thing is, when you lead to glorify self, there is some success in that, but I don't think there's complete joy in that. And so with that said, listen to this. We tend to walk in our flesh. This is something we believers have to battle. We're battling our flesh constantly. That spirit in my flesh, I'm battling. It's always fighting me. Paul talks about this in Romans 7. But listen to this in Romans 8. He says, the mind of the flesh with its sinful pursuits is actively hostile to God. Think of that. When you're walking in your flesh, that is hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law since it cannot. And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. There is no amount of success you're going to get from living out your flesh and thinking that you're pleasing God. We're not pleasing God. We're just not. Now, that's convicting, but when you think of leadership, here's what I like next. We should lead and walk in the Spirit. Paul will remind believers of this in Romans 8. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't gratify the desires of your flesh. He went on to say, but I say walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard of God and His precepts. That's Paul to the church of Galatians. And then he goes on to the church of Rome and listen what he says. But clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for, nor even think about gratifying the flesh in regard to its improper desires. Paul says, hey, church of Rome, don't even think about it. Do not try to gratify your flesh. And so when we lead people, we don't want to lead people where we're trying to gratify ourselves. That's not how we lead. We lead by the Spirit to build up, to help other people be successful. I think we heard that here yesterday. There's someone here that wants us all to be successful, and He's created an opportunity for us. And so with that said, I was thinking, what does it look like to lead, Donnie? I'm not much of a leader, so what should I do? Well, not everybody's per se called to lead when you think of the spiritual gifts. Some people are called leaders by God, and that's what they need to do. But that doesn't mean you can't lead. You can still lead. And I want to show you an example of what the power of leadership looks like from someone who will never forget the man that led him. Watch this video.
I have a lot of memories from when I was a child. One that's always stuck out to me, though, was when I was about 10 years old, and I was in school, and I struggled. And I didn't struggle with English, math, or science. I struggled holding still. And I would try to listen and focus and process ideas, but I couldn't help myself. And to be honest, I would sit there, and then I would just start tapping. And the students in the class would look at me, and they'd say, hey, stop tapping. A lot of the time, I didn't even realize I was doing it. And then eventually even the teachers got after me and they would yell at me and they'd say, Clint, you have to stop tapping. It got so bad that I got sent to the principal's office for tapping. And he said to me, okay, maybe when you go back to class, just try sitting on your hands. And so I did, I went back to class and when I felt myself starting to tap, I just I did this. I sat on my hands. And that worked for about 5 seconds. One time I was tapping in class and my teacher, Mr. Jensen, he looked at me and he yelled. And he said, Clint, stay after class. And I thought to myself, this is it. I am done. Now, I've always been the type of person that believes that a single moment in time can change a person's life. And this was one of those moments for me. And I will never forget it. And so I was sitting there with Mr. Jensen and an empty classroom. And he walked past me and he sat next to his desk and he said, Clint, come here, I want to talk to you. And as he looked me right in the eye, he said, now I need you to know something, you're not in trouble. But I do have just one question that I have to ask you. And he asked, he said, have you ever thought about playing the drums? And in that moment, Mr. Jensen, he leaned back and he opened the top drawer of his desk. And he reached in and he pulled out my very first pair of drumsticks. And he held them in his hands and he looked at me and he said, hey, Clint, you're not a problem. I think you're a drummer. Moment on, I've never put those sticks down. I've toured, recorded, and played drums all over the world. My whole college education was paid for with drumsticks in my hand. Just because of a single moment in time when somebody believed in me and he saw something in me that I didn't even see within myself. And from that moment, I learned that there's a difference between being the best in the world and being the best for the world.
You ever thought about it when we lead people? Sometimes we're so quick to point out what they're doing wrong and not what they could be doing right. Like leading people, when you look at the scriptures, it's about how to make people successful. Paul looked at Timothy, and we see through his letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, he's preparing him to lead a church during a very dangerous time. He tells him, he gives him instructions in 1 Timothy 4. He said, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. He goes on to say such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry or ordain them to abstain from certain foods. Paul goes on. He goes, if you point out these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. Paul's leading him. You can do this, Timothy. And then he reminds him in our verse for today, 1 Timothy 4, let no one look down on you. When you're leading people, you don't let people look down on you. Don't let no one look down on you. See, it's interesting how in this video, a true story that the other teachers didn't see the potential in the young man that Mr. Jensen did. He took a different route because he saw potential. He saw success. Look what he created by just giving one bit of leadership, one bit of advice. Hey, think about this. And so Paul reminds Timothy, don't let nobody look down on you, but be an example and set a pattern for the believers. That's what leaders do. You set a pattern in speech and conduct and love and faith and in moral purity. It's convicting, but there's a reminder here for us that God's calling us to lead. Lead. You go, well, man, I don't know if I'm good enough. I got sin in my life. I've not risen to that place yet. No, you're leading somebody, and you have an opportunity to lead people. So here's my challenge to us this year. This is the part where people are like, oh, I don't like this part. Find one person. One person that you work with and lead them this year. Lead them. Maybe it's to encourage them. Maybe it's to share scripture with them. Maybe it's to take them to lunch. Maybe it's to talk to them about their faith. Maybe it's to help them in their work. Maybe it's to help them work with somebody better. Maybe it's to have them see a different perspective. But the goal is to not point out what they're doing wrong, but to go, I want to help you. I want to lead you. And then if it happens to be you that someone's picked, let them lead you. We're all being led by somebody, right? And so I'll close with this. Obviously, you guys know I had Riley Gaines here yesterday with Billy and MRO, and she spoke at a ladies' event last night. And 300 ladies, a few of the ladies here were there. It was a great night. 23 years old, if you know her story. She stood up and she said, y'all are probably asking, how did I get here? What is my why? And I was really excited to hear that. And as she talked about her situation that she went through in the swimming world, swimming with male athletes and women's races, in the locker room with them and things like that, she said, the reason I'm here is coaches didn't do anything. Dads didn't do anything. Moms didn't do anything. The governing body didn't do anything. The other swimmers didn't do anything. She said, nobody was doing anything. And God said, I want you to do something. And so she decided to step out and lead a movement now that is trying to protect women in women's sports. And she's 23 and tours all over the country, pretty much full time, right? Just from taking a stand and leading people. So we all have an opportunity to lead people. So I want to encourage you as you walk away from here, lead for God's sake. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You can do it right where you are every day. If you pray, you trust God, ask for his help, walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, God will use you. And you never know who you might be. You might become an Apostle Paul, or you might become a Mr. Jensen. And wouldn't that be pretty cool? Let's pray. God, thank you for our time. And God, we know, Lord, that you have called many of us to be leaders. And in that calling, sometimes it's very difficult, Lord, because we don't feel like we're qualified. But we know, Lord, that you qualify the called. And so, God, I'm asking for you to qualify these people to be bold in their faith at work and at home, to lead the people in their life. Not to just lead them to Jesus, but lead them to a way that honors you. Forgive them when they miss the mark, Lord. Continue to guide and instruct them through the power of your Spirit. God, we do lift up the rest of this company and the people here. We pray your protection over them. But mostly, God, we pray for your Spirit to guide and direct us to be the leaders you've called us to be at this place, at this time. And so, God, we pray for your mercy and grace as we do that. In Christ's name, amen. We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at gotomro.com. Take care and God bless.